Morning, everyone. Wednesday, May 25. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever you are listening. The teams are out for round 12 in the NRL this week, starting with Melbourne up against Manly tomorrow night. And we'll go through a few of those throughout the morning. The French Open continues. Roger Rashid on later this morning. Unfortunately, Alex de Minaur has gone down in five sets against his French opponent, Hugo Gaston, overnight after nearly 4 hours on court. Barcelona's in town. Big. Up against the A-League All-Stars tonight. That's at Accor Stadium. They were enjoying the sights of Sydney yesterday as their La Liga season finished just over the weekend. And we've got the Fields and Barry's Determined for the three Group 1s in Brisbane at Eagle Farm, including the Move Doomben Cup. Zaki $1.40, drew the outside barrier 10 of 10. Heading towards the big Group 1 there on Saturday. Morning to you, Lozza. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ben. Good, thanks, boys, and good thanks to everybody. Another rainy day, start to the day, isn't it? Pouring down with rain. Let's hope that that can clear up, but looks as though we're in for another tough day. But hopefully the people that need the rain are getting it. Interested to see some of the teams that are announced yesterday. Some big names are welcomed back. Manly, they're welcoming him back, George Tafua, who hasn't played in 600 days. So well done to him, making it back into the team. Obviously, Tommy T's not there. There was an opportunity for Manly to bring him back into the team. But their strike rate without Tom since 2019 is not great. It's about 35%, so they'll be looking to change that. Jamal Fogarty for the Raiders. He's about to play his first game. So he was an off-season recruit that they bought from the Titans. They placed a lot of faith in, but obviously injured his knee and gets an opportunity to come back in this game. Jared Croker is back, so that brings some leadership back to the Raiders. Won't the Melbourne Storm look forward to having Jerome Hughes back? He's been named as seven, but you know, the last 2 weeks without him and Pappenhausen, they've conceded plenty of points. They haven't looked like the Melbourne of old, but I'm sure with him being back into the team, then he'll be able to improve the Storm. Cam Murray's been named on an extended bench for South Sydney, so that's not only good news for them, but also for the New South Wales Blues, who picked their side on Sunday night. The Broncos with Adam Reynolds. The Broncos have elected to rest him again this week with a hamstring injury. And why wouldn't you? You know, the Broncos are playing really good football at the moment. They've got a bye next week. And Ezra Mann, what a performance he had last weekend against the Newcastle Knights up there in Newcastle, where the Broncos have, you know, play some really good football, some tough football, and currently find themselves in the eight. Luke Brooks is back for the Tigers, so Tigers fans will be happy about that. And also Will Kennedy, straight back into the team for the Sharks. I don't think that's a surprise because Craig Fitzgibbon said that it happened. But Lachie Miller, who was so good on his debut last weekend against the Titans, has been named 18th man. So that's just some of the changes through the sides this weekend.
Now, yesterday at the National Broodmare Sale, we saw a away game be sold for $4 million and Tafani $3.1 million. Pretty wild with M. Clark in the ownership. You can just see this one day going for what, 3.5, Loz?
15 cents.
Get some black type middo and all group races and away they go. Some big numbers yesterday, but yeah, congratulations to all those connections because that's very good money, and that's the exciting part, I suppose, about being in an ownership group as well. Middo, you get the option to race these horses, and if they have a bit of success, you can hold on to them, you can sell them, you know, you can put them out, you can do whatever you want. But, some of these horses, when people get involved in, they just have a bit of luck, so good on them.
How are you, pup?
Morning, boys.
Red shoes.
Yeah, I'm a bit sleepy. I'm a bit sleepy today, though. Just got an email in front of me, actually, in regards to Pretty Wild, my horse. So it is, it's having its first race. We're planning on June 1.
Okay.
If that doesn't go
to
plan,
next Wednesday.
We're June 4 in Newcastle.
Yeah, so either next Wednesday or Saturday in Newcastle.
Yep.
It's a Saturday meeting, provincial meeting in Newcastle.
Yep, one or the other.
How good.
So look out. Let's see how she goes.
Hopefully you get some decent
weather. Good luck with that. I saw a bit of sun. not sure what day next week on the forecast. It was one of the days I was looking at, and there was a touch of sun. So, yeah, fingers crossed. But either way, exciting, exciting.
I reckon you're more likely Newcastle. It's a great drying track, and I reckon without knowing a thing,
Newcastle's the fourth, right?
Yeah, Chris Waller probably being a first starter might not want to start her or debut her on a heavy track if this continues, and Newcastle. Assuming, obviously, they're having a bit better weather than us here in Sydney, I think I'd put that favourite at this point that he might send it to Newcastle.
Pretty sure he knows what he's doing. That's for sure.
Has a bit of an idea. that's exciting. That is really exciting.
I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Loz, I'm excited.
Well, Middo, why wouldn't you be? Because
see how she goes.
Well, mate, when your first horse, first opportunity to get into racing, you never know where it can take you. And I think that's the exciting part. You've got a good group of owners. You'll get there. You'll enjoy the day. And you'll talk about her run. You'll talk about what races she's going to win. You'll have high expectations.
I'll be celebrating
expectations.
No matter what. Yeah, zero expectations.
Depending on what happens.
It's all a bonus.
Those expectations can change pretty quickly.
Yeah.
In fact, the first horse I ever had was made its debut at Newcastle. Don't think it's finished.
Yeah.
There's a horse called Wiggity Whack, we named it.
Yeah. Zero expectation is the safest place to be.
The problem
sounds
is
like a relationship.
If it runs well, then your expectations start
through the roof.
Exceed other people's. And you start to believe or dream that you can one day stand on the big stage. Yeah. Everest, top of the mountain.
Text here, Clarky, I have a filly going around in the Fillies and Mares 1200 metre maiden on the fourth too. Looks like we're racing. Bottle of vodka for the first one home.
Love it.
Tell us, no name to that text, but if you can, tell us the name of your horse.
Yeah, what horse?
Text it in and we'll keep an eye on the noms when they come out for Newcastle Saturday week. Or who knows, Clarky's pretty wild, might be running next Wednesday yet at the farm. But we'll see. We'll see. Boys, can we watch the Barcelona game tonight on free-to-air TV? I'm pretty sure it'll be on Network 10. I'll have to check that out for you, but I'm pretty sure that'll be on 10 tonight, if not 10 bold. You don't get Barcelona in the country and not put them on.
It's amazing a team like such a big sporting team can come to Australia and no one even knows. Like,
there's a little bit. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to.
Can you imagine Barcelona going to London? There'd be 1,000 people at the airport waiting for them.
There's a little bit of media done yesterday, but yeah, exactly. Yeah,
zero attention during footy season in Australia. Barcelona, and they've still brought their big fish as well. It's not like they've taken their third team. They've got some big fish here, and Aussies, Harvey Norman.
On 10
There'll
bowl.
Be some interest. The game will be.
I think they're expecting
70,000
people out there.
Yeah.
ANZ. Is it still called ANZ, by the way?
A core.
A core stadium. I'm going to get used to calling it a core stadium. But to be fair, like if you're a footballer, like soccer supporter in this country, you would know those players.
Definitely.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know those players. But, they reckon they're as good as what you'll get anywhere. And Barcelona is certainly a massive club. I asked Mino this question this morning, about obviously money, but other than money, do they just come out here and then after they finish, is the season over? Do they just go and do their own thing? Have they got another game in Asia or somewhere? I'm just wondering whether it's a tour that they're playing a number of games or whether it's just a one-off come to Australia. Season wraps up and then you can go and do whatever you want to do. If you want to stay here for a holiday, you can.
There'd want to be more than one game, you would think. You're not flying all the way from Barcelona to Australia for one game of football. No, that they're making enough money. I can't imagine Australia is paying them enough money to justify that.
That's what I thought. I thought it might have been
three different countries or something like that.
Yeah, not sure. Not sure. I reckon my theory is I think the players would be going on leave probably after the Champions League final, which is this weekend. Yep. I reckon that's probably in their contract. That's when your leave starts. Yeah. So if there's games scheduled between now and then.
But what would entice Barcelona to want to come and play in Australia?
Some sort of promotional tour.
Got to be money.
Just the brand. I'm sure probably the state government paid them a fair bit of money.
Yeah.
But yeah,
anyway, good for football brand. In this country.
It is
football.
It's good to have a team like Barcelona.
Definitely.
I think there's 60,000 tickets sold for the game.
Especially
tonight.
Again, we've been pretty hard on the A-League, and for good reason, this year. I think this is, you know, the more we can do this in this country to try and work out where football is going to go, the better. I think, if we, especially, and again, if you can get some of the best players in the world coming and playing in Australia. You know, I think little things like even Dwight York being here to coach. I know you come to see your players, but right now with the A-League, call it, you know, a big-name player, a big-name coach, someone that the kids can relate to, someone that, you know, the people that are paying money to go and watch want to go and be a part of, whatever it takes right now, I think the A-League needs it. So
it certainly needs something because this year was very poor.
Yeah.
And it's a grand final this weekend.
Would you know about it?
Well, you wouldn't know about it. Would not know about it.
Well, yeah,
no promotion. No one is barely interested.
I don't
in
understand
it.
How we've seen how there's been less advertisement, or it feels like there's been less advertisement and marketing when it's on free to air. I don't understand how that's possible.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think we've spoken about this. I thought that for rugby and football, that going to the free-to-air networks would help
save them. Yeah.
But I just look at, you know, and Loz, we've spoken about this. Like, when it was on Fox, you just naturally sometimes when you're flicking between channels.
There's also the cross-promotion between the papers as well.
That's a great point. The News Corp.
The News Corp.
There's no doubt that in News Corp, rugby and football, soccer, the coverage they're getting has just disappeared almost.
Well, you don't get it. You're not getting it on Fox and you're not getting it through the paper. And therefore, there's your two of your biggest ways of, you know, showcasing your sport, and yet it's not existent. I've got no doubt if it was on Fox, there'd be more promotion on Fox and also in the Telegraph. And the same with, you know, Rugby Union being on Channel 9 or on Stan. They're in opposition to Fox and opposition to News Limited. So there's just no cross-promotion there. So and you understand that's the way
that's business.
That's business, and that's the way they operate. So with Channel 10 being out there on their own, I think that's a part of it as well.
Mm.
I think if it was with 9, 7 or Fox, I think it'd be a little bit different.
Back pages of the papers, great picture of Cody Walker on the back page of the Herald playing for the jersey. And on the back page of the telly, round of applause for stars. And there's Dane Laurie and Cody Walker. Dane Laurie's Cody Walker's nephew. And there they are set to play each other this week. Oh, this is a great little story.
Yeah, and they'll go hard at each other too, Mido. But that's it's a great week for Indigenous players in the NRL. It's the Indigenous round, and they'll celebrate their culture and celebrate with each other. And I know they really look forward to it. So, you know, there's a lot of Indigenous players in those two sides, the Bunnies and also the West Tigers, and I'm sure they'll put a show on for us on Saturday afternoon.
Also on the back page of the Telegraph, unfinished business, Flenno's blueprint for dogs, and fair to say, very forthright and honest on a Fox League podcast, Shane Flanagan. He didn't hide his interest in the Bulldogs job, that's for sure. He made some interesting comments as well, Loz, about his son Kyle there at the Dogs, indicated that he's not getting the coaching that he needs at the moment, and he put that down to the big picture issues there at the Dogs, which are obvious there at the moment. Well, the fact they're on the lookout for a new coach, and there's a lot going on above the footy department as it is, but he also conceded that Kyle has, you know, holes in his game that he needs to address and that he's lost all his confidence, but tell you what, Shane Flanagan, good on him, coming out and just saying, look, I want the job, basically.
Well, he's a coach, isn't he? That's what he wants to get back into. And we know the background of Shane. We know that he coached Cronulla and we know how it ended. He won a competition there. He built a roster and he's been on the sideline and he's been looking for another opportunity and he's just waiting for someone to give him a chance. I'm sure he'll be a better coach this time around than what he was last time. And he's desperate to get back into it. And, you know, he's a tough style of coach. He's aggressive. He's, you know, knows what he's after. I don't know whether he'd fit the mould that the Bulldogs are looking for at the moment, but the Bulldogs are saying that they want an experienced coach. And there's not too many experienced coaches around, and certainly none with a CV like Shane Flanagan. So, you know, the toughest one for him would be to coach his son because he's not guaranteed a you know, walk up start as the number seven there, and the pressure that that would place on the team, but also the relationship between father and son. But look, I think he, you know, he's been out of the game for a long time. He's paid his price. He deserves another opportunity. And I think if someone gave him an opportunity, I think they'd be getting a better coach this time around.
Mm. Also, back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, Clarkey, the Herald's got their hands on Cricket Australia's, well, ranking list and the figures, I guess, that they're being paid. I'm sure the players would just love this getting out, but Cummins tops rankings list as pacemen earn huge paydays, and well, Pat Cummins top of the rankings. Is this how it works? So that you get ranked and your salary's determined accordingly, according to your ranking.
Yep. That's so exactly how it works.
Top 20.
Who decides on the ranking?
Selectors. And high performance manager, I think, has a say in it as well. Selectors say, pretty much, yeah, you get ranked across. So if you play, let's say Pat Cummins, for example, he's captain of the test team, plays 2020 cricket, plays one day cricket. So that's why he's at the top of the tree. So even if you're the number one ranked test player and you don't play other formats, your overall ranking might be 7, 8, 9, something like that. Nathan Lyon, for example, he's 6. So if you're playing all three forms, you get higher up the ranking, and that's why you get paid more money. So on top of these numbers, though, as you can see in what the Sydney Morning Herald's done, you also get your match payment, so $18,000 per test match on top of that contract fee, $7,000 on top of that contract fee for a one-dayer, and $5,500 for a T20. Then there's a captain's bonus for Paddy Cummins that he gets as well, which I think is a couple hundred grand. And then there's a marketing contract as well. So all the sponsors, so this is the other thing about how Cricket Australia works, you cannot sign with a conflicting sponsor. So if Cricket Australia's major sponsor is Qantas, then if Virgin come to me and want to sign me personally, I can't go and do a deal with Virgin because it's conflicting with Cricket Australia. So Cricket Australia pay, if you're in the TV commercial, you get a marketing fee, and that can be up to, you know, $500,000 as well, $400,000 a year extra. So someone like Paddy Cummins, who's doing a lot of their marketing, you know, he's the face of really the test team now as the captain. His contract's $1.8 million, but he's probably making closer to $3 million. So it's pretty good coin.
IPL.
Then he's probably getting $2 million for IPL, and then you can add another $1 million a year in sponsorship.
Off of that.
I reckon.
It's also got here too is 40% match fee bonus. So playing overseas, you get paid more match payments.
You must get a winning bonus as well. We had that at different stages through my career as well. I think Paddy Howard, when he was high performance manager, he brought that in. But yeah, as I said at the time to him, and I've said it very openly, that getting paid extra to win has never enticed anyone I know playing cricket for Australia to try and win more. Winning is winning. You want to win every game you play. So whether you got a winning bonus or not, it doesn't change much from the player's perspective. But yeah, there's some big dollars there, Middo. If you're playing all three formats, playing in the IPL and are marketable, the boys are making some good money. But you know, that's, again, I think the other thing as well that you shouldn't take for granted is the amount of time they spend away from home. So they're probably 10 months a year, at least, maybe more than that, if you're in the IPL, 11 months a year away from your own bed. So even when you're in Australia, very rarely you're staying in your own bed. You're, you know, different state, different hotel, training camp in Brisbane. You know, for their partners, a lot of their partners probably have to give up work as well if they're going to travel with them. Don't worry, it's a great life, don't get me wrong, but you're 100% 24/7 dedicated to playing your sport, and yes, they do get paid very well, but they earn it as well, in my opinion.
Well, what about a guy like Marnus Labuschagne, who goes and plays over in England?
County cricket?
Do they get paid well?
Yeah, they get paid. They do get paid well, but it's also learning your game, like continuing to play cricket, so you stay in good form, and then also learning conditions, especially with an Ashes series not far away. But yeah, Marnus would probably get, I'm guessing, £130,000. For the, what, he's there for 4 months?
So you'd probably think that you'd take that time off, wouldn't you, if you're not in the IPL? I know that's good.
Depends
good money,
on,
but
depends,
I mean,
on to, where your game's at, I reckon. More
it's
than
an investment
anything
in
else.
Yourself, isn't it?
I reckon for what we've got coming up with an Ashes series, I think that's quite smart this year in going and playing county cricket, getting as much cricket as you can in those conditions. The other thing, if you are, let's say Peter Hanscombe, for example, who's over there playing, he's not going to get selected in the IPL. He's going to push hard. He wants to be a part of that Australian setup. If he goes and plays county cricket and makes thousands of runs, then it'll be in the back of the selector's mind. So especially if you're scoring runs in those conditions, even though county cricket is like, against some teams, it's like second grade cricket over here. There's a massive gap between playing against England in England and playing in the county system, especially if you're in second division. But yeah, and the other thing as well, like now, if you're not going to play IPL, you might want to keep playing cricket. So, you know, you might only have a certain amount of time here in Australia playing first-class cricket. Let's say Tim Payne, great example, didn't get a contract here with Tassie, been flicked from the Australian team. If he wanted to keep playing cricket, he could go play another 5 years of county cricket and captain a team over there if he wanted to. But again, if he does that, he may as well live in England.
I just thought, like, when you get that opportunity to have a rest as a cricketer, I can understand the IPL if you're on, getting $2 million for that eight-week period or whatever it is. But if you're someone else that, you know, it's not as much as that, you probably take a break every time.
If you're playing for Australia, like Steve Smith, for example.
Yeah, he's earning.
Mate, I'm definitely sitting on the couch and clearing my head and getting away from cricket for that 6 weeks and getting ready for the Australian summer.
All right. Well, the top seven, according to this article in the Herald, which their earnings range between $1.8 million for Pat Cummins and $1.1 for Nathan Lyon. You got Cummins, Hazelwood up to number two. A Warner at three, Stark four, Smith five, Labuschagne six, Nathan Lyon seven, which all sounds about right, doesn't it? Now, coming up this morning, we've got Dick Fain in about 10 minutes' time. After that, we have JR's NBA multi after she gave us a winner. I think it was this day last week, actually, last Wednesday, looking for two in a row, JR, for the what we got today. We've got game four of the Western Conference Finals with the Warriors looking to sweep the Dallas Mavericks. Adam Pengilly, Damian Cook, South's hooker, Roger Rashid from the French Open, taking us through what's gone on in the French Open overnight. Will Haywood from the Sydney Swans, big game Friday night, the Marne Grook game against Richmond at the SCG. Brad Davidson, Dean Bulldog Richie, and Liz Watson, the Diamonds captain and the Melbourne Vixens co-captain, star mid-quarter, is going to join us as well. It's a minute past six. Dick Fain coming up shortly. Now, Clarkie's got a couple of competitors. It looks like they're potentially at Newcastle if your horse goes that way. Pia Shooter is the name of that horse that was sent in earlier. I'm sorry if I've mispronounced that. Pia Shooter just needs a bone-dry track. Could be one of your opponents. And also, hey, boys, stakes are high, Clarkie. I have a horse with Chris Lees. Her name is Jeannie. Hope she runs like the wind. She's Andrew.
Love it. Bit of competition, never hurt anyone, Mido.
So there you go.
Got to be someone's horses, don't they?
Pretty wild.
They're not running on her own.
On debut either next Wednesday at Warwick Farm or the following Saturday at...
Newcastle.
Yesterday, barriers drawn for the three Group 1. Zaki has barrier 10 of 10. $1.40 favourite for the Doomben Cup at Eagle Farm, of course, on Saturday after it had to be abandoned last Saturday. Dark Destroyer is the favourite for the Queensland Derby. Drew the inside, $4.50 with Tab. And Paulelli is the $4 favourite in what looks a very competitive Tab Kingsford Smith. And it drew barrier 8. Paulelli will be barrier 6, though, should the emergencies come out. And Lozzie, your multi last Saturday was scratched. Well, Ducuri was scratched. So
yes, it was.
Punters got their coin back.
I can't even remember, Mido. That's how good I'm going. That's right. Ducuri was scratched. Elias did no good anyway. So we're quite happy with that. The track was too wet for Elias. But I don't know, Mido. Wet tracks. Betting early. I just don't know what to do.
Don't be defeated on us.
I'm just a bit flat. People being critical of
it's getting to you.
You know, we're halfway through the year.
I'll tell you what you shouldn't be flat about.
What's that, mate?
Is the fact the Raiders get Jamal Fogarty.
Oh, looking forward to seeing Jamal
back.
For the
first time after he suffered that injury, in the preseason. The halfback they've signed from the Titans, so he plays his first game for his new club this Saturday. And Jared Croker's back in the side, which is great to see as well. Parramatta, your opponents on Sunday afternoon in Canberra, the 4 o'clock game. Wonga Blake back for the Eels. But if you can somehow eke out a victory here at home, what's that, 4 in a row?
Important game, Mitter. It's an important game because you're playing a good side in Parramatta. And Parramatta are starting to get some troops back. You look at, you know, what they've been able to name on the extended bench. You know, you've got Sean Russell coming back. You've got Sivo coming back on that extended bench. Wonga Blake is now back into the team. So they're starting to get some outside backs available. You look at their forwards, Campbell Gillard, Junior Pilo up front. The big one, I suppose, they put Madison and Nathan Brown back to the bench. Nukora comes in to start in the back row, and Isaiah Papali'i, who's been tremendous on an edge, he now plays in the middle. But the Raiders, their forward pack has been sensational. And Zach Wolford done a great job for the Raiders the last 2 weeks. I mean, he comes on, he starts, he plays for 25, 30 minutes, and then Starling comes on and plays the rest of the game. But that combination's worked well. Adam Elliott looks as though he's found his feet. But looking forward to seeing White and Fogarty, see how they perform together. And Xavier Savage, this young North Queensland kid, he's got some speed. Scored a wonderful individual try last weekend up there in Dubbo against South Sydney. Gets an opportunity now that Klukstad is on the sideline with a hamstring injury. He's going to be a very, very talented, very good player. He's a lot of talent. He's got a lot of speed. His anticipation is great. But Croker coming back gives them stability in that back line. And, yeah, things are starting to build nicely. But, you know, they'll need to win this one.
Speaking of Starling, did you see that video footage last night? Oh, my God. God. Have you seen it, Lloyd?
Yeah. He's only a little fella, too. There's not much of him.
Oh, my God. That's horrendous to watch.
Fair to say the officer got him?
Well, both of them. He got smacked with about three less from the other copper as well. That's hard to watch that. When you see someone get punched in the face, flush like that, and he sort of had his hands were tight, like he couldn't even defend himself.
We only see that piece of vision.
Yeah, of course. And again, you don't know what's said, you don't know what's done, you don't know what's caused. Like, I'm not going into, I'm just saying, I'm on the couch watching the news, looking at that, and I'm about, like, I felt sick in the guts watching it. It's just, it's nasty to watch. Horrible for everyone, that.
That's playing out at the moment. We got to go stateside. Dick Fane's next. Hello, Dick.
Hello. You guys were mentioning Parramatta. Whatever happened to my old friend Dennis Fitzgerald? What's he up to?
Dennis, I don't know what's happening with Dennis. I see him at the racetrack every now and again. He's still out there involved with the races. But he left Parramatta. 10 years ago now?
Yeah,
the Emperor? He's still floating around, though. He's still floating around, Dick. Yeah.
Well, the backstory is he was incredibly gracious to my wife and I when we came out there. We communicated over email. He was a big Seattle sports fan, so he emailed me, and we stayed in touch over email, and then he was incredibly gracious and hosted us when we were over there. So, but I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't emailed him in a couple of years, so I'm going to have to catch up with him.
Oh, there you go.
Parramatta are going okay at the moment, Dick. They're
good.
I think in sixth position, but they're playing some decent football. They've just been inconsistent. They've knocked off the two top teams over here, but they've been beaten by a couple of the lowly placed sides. So they just haven't been consistent with their football. But if they can do that, they might win their premiership for the first time since 1986.
I was blown away by those leagues clubs that you have over there. I think NFL team should have something like that. I think it would absolutely make a killing.
Yeah, no doubt they would. But in fact, well, I'll tell you what, you would have nearly made a killing if you back Will Zalatoris. I was thinking of you, Dick. I'm sure this probably hurts in the PGA Championship, but Zalatoris, it was a final round. It looks like whoever doesn't have the biggest meltdown is going to win this, but then Justin Thomas just shot up from nowhere.
He did, and you know, I was kind of torn because, I mean, obviously you want your tips to come in, but then on the other side, I'm not a big fan, even though Will is a top quality future major champion. There's no question in my mind he is going to win a major, if not multiple majors. I kind of want you to kind of pay your dues first by, you know, competing in and winning PGA Tour events before just jumping right to a major championship. And so I was kind of, I was watching the end of it with my son, and he was rooting for Will. And I was like, yeah, you know, it'd be great to see Will win. And yet Justin Thomas got the short end of the stick with the wave draw, with that wind wave, which, you know, killed half the field in the Players' Championship, did not help in the Masters. And now here's the third big tournament of the year, and the wind cost Justin Thomas's side of the draw two full strokes. So the fact that he was able to overcome that, still be in the top 10 after day number two, which really he was the only player on the way, on the bad win side that was in the top 10. So I actually was excited to see Justin Thomas come back and win that. And that shot he had, that three wood, the drivable par four on the 17th in the second playoff hole with that club twirl, which was, that was damn sexy to watch, guys. That shot, I don't know if a golf shot can be sexy, but if one can, that was the golf shot of the year on the PGA Tour, that three wood he hit on that drivable par four. It reminded me of Colin Morikawa a couple of years ago at Harding Park when he won the PGA Championship on a drivable par four with a three wood that he stuck to like 8 feet and putted it in for eagle. And just an amazing come from behind victory by Justin Thomas.
Dick, what's your take on Tiger Woods? And will we see, you think, him pull out of more tournaments like this with, you know, with his knee struggling?
Yeah, you know, it was very similar to the Masters, similar style track as well. You know, very, very difficult walking course, and you could really see the undulations on television. And that's why, guys, I was perfectly honest with you 2 months ago. I didn't think we'd see Tiger again until St. Andrews. I was surprised that he even signed up for the PGA Championship in the first place. So I guess that kind of tells you that Tiger felt like he was ready, because he would not compete in any tournament unless he thought not only he could compete, but he could win. And we've seen now in two major championships on very hilly courses, him just not be able to physically go for four rounds successfully. I think it will be better at St. Andrews. That's about as easy a walking course as you can possibly get in the world. So Tiger should be able to compete favorably. It's a course he's won on before. I mean, I'm not going to tip him to win at St. Andrews. I still don't think he can get through four rounds of exquisite golf on a flat course. But I think he'll be closer. He'll get a, you know, another month and a half, plus the flat course. Very, very familiar surroundings there for Tiger. So I would imagine not only will he make the cut, I'll probably be tipping at that point, you know, Tiger to be, you know, maybe a top 25 or a top 30 in that tournament.
What about the NBA playoffs, Dick? Boston hit back yesterday against Miami, and they've now tied that series 2-2.
That was a first round KO. if that was a boxing match, it would have been called about a minute and a half in. I mean, Miami went, 14 consecutive shots without making one to start the game. Boston just raced out, never looked back. And that's just kind of how the series has been. It's been, you know, one awful quarter by Boston in game one, number one, a terrible quarter by Miami in the last game. And we just haven't seen a lot of competitive basketball in this series. And yet we have a competitive series. We have a 2-2 series, and yet none of the games have gone down to the wire. So I'm gonna tip exactly what I did with you last week. I said I thought Miami was going to win game one and that Boston was going to win the series. I'm going to double down and say Miami's going to win by game five and Boston's still going to win the series. I think Boston is the better basketball team. The one thing Miami has going for them is they have the home court advantage for two of the last three games, and that cannot be understated. I just think Boston's got more weapons, particularly with you're now – The health question marks, you have one serious health question mark for Boston in Marcus Smart. You have two serious health question marks in Miami. I mean, Tyler Herro, is he going to come back? Jimmy Butler, how effective is he going to be? We saw last night, not very, as the entire starting five for Miami, none of them got into double figures, which was just staggering that you can have an NBA game where no starter gets into double figures. Boston is the team that should win this. Boston is the team I hope that's going to win this, because I think Boston is the one team that can at least give Golden State a really, really good NBA final.
He's a pretty good player, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, he's pretty good player. Jeez, he needs to the one thing Jason Tatum needs to elevate himself to legitimately being considered one of the top three players in the NBA is he needs consistency, right? I mean, those top three players in the NBA in championship settings, whether it was LeBron a couple of years ago, whether it's Giannis, you just always know you can count on them. You can just chalk up 28 points, 10 rebounds, you know, for LeBron, it's, you know, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. You can just chalk that up. You can't do that for Jason Tatum yet. You can't just chalk up that he is going to have a 25 to 30 point game, rebounds, play defense every single night out. So once Jason Tatum can get that consistency, that's probably the last part of his game that he needs to be a legitimate first team all NBA superstar.
Dick, I reckon Dallas are a bet today. I don't think they'll get swept by Golden State. They're $1.85 favorites at home. Golden State, $2. Luka won't let them get swept, will he? No, oh, we've just lost Dick there. We'll get him.
Got me there?
Yeah, we got you now. Go for it. Have we got you?
You got me, boys?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's all about pride. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Loud and clear. Unfortunately, we've got some technical difficulties there with Dick Fain, but $1.85 Dallas, down 3-0 in the series against Golden State, $2.
Where's this game being played?
Dallas.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you, Mido. I don't think they'll want to be swept at home. They're a chance of winning this game, but Golden State.
Yeah, they're foot in the finals.
Good basketball at the moment.
And we've got a question here. Lads trying to book a trip to Vegas and New York City in October. Oh, that sounds all right. Can you ask Dick when the NBA draw for next season is released? Got a college and NFL game sorted. Now just need NBA. Crossy.
Tell you what, Crossy, if you can put it back till November, isn't there the Grand Prix over there this year?
Well, they've got a couple because they just had
Miami,
but I think there's another one.
Isn't
I'm not
the
sure
first,
when that
aren't
is.
They
the
going first to
one,
Vegas.
No, the first Vegas,
yeah, Vegas.
One's Vegas.
Next year.
Oh, is that next year? Ah, right.
Yeah,
not
and
this
I think
year.
It's middle of the year sometime.
Right. I thought it was late in the year.
You might be right there. I'll check that, Loz. But certainly the first Vegas Grand Prix is next year.
Next year. Mm. Right. Oh, well, Crossy, book your trip. Dick's no good.
We've lost him. We'll give him a break. Yeah, we got plenty out of him, as we do. We'll take a quick break. Give us a call, 1353 53. JR's NBA multi is open too. I've gone against her, of course. She's gone Golden State to win, but she's in form, JR. Good win last week. Golden State to win. In fact, we got it now. JR, morning to you. You can tell us about it.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was just listening to you speaking with Dick Fain there, and both Loz and Jared, you guys are going against my multi, but that's fine. It's good to have some friendly competition on the show. So I know you guys don't think that they're going to get swept, but when you watch just how the sides have been playing, I just don't know what the solution is for Mavericks to come out and get the win today. Warriors just have way too much firepower. Yeah. And Luka Doncic, I don't know what he does because he's been getting 40 or more points in the past two games. So, and it was actually really sad listening to his press conference where he's basically said, I haven't been playing that well and it's on me and I'm still 23. I've got a lot to learn. So anyway, I've got them being swept today. So our multi is Golden State to win. And in order for them to do that, I think Klay Thompson will need to step up and get three or more threes. He did that in game three, so I expect him to do that again. And then we need Klay Thompson and Luka Doncic to combine for 45 points. Now, Luka will probably do that on his own anyway, but I've got those three options for $5.50.
$5.50, brilliant. And in its regular spot, sport in today's offers on the Tab app and website. I think the system's just going through its little reboot, so it'll be there shortly. If it's not there now, just looking on the app, and no, it's not quite there yet, but it will be.
We'll get set. We'll let everyone know when it is open, but you can get those three legs at $5.50. Okay, $5. We're one from one so far, so let's hope we can make it two from two.
You are, JR. Was it last week?
Yep, last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. It was perfect. I don't mind this one, except I just think that Dallas won't be swept at home.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Loz. I think I can see why you would think that. Yeah. And it was just off the back of game three where Dallas were at home then as well. And it's more, I just can't see how they can change to be able to get the win. And look, I don't think anyone expected them to even get as far as what they have. And comments made by Jason Kidd after, who's the coach of Dallas, after their game three loss was almost suggesting they're already looking to next season, which in my head thought, yeah, they're done. Mm. They look gassed. They're done. So, look, you could prove me wrong, Laurie, and tomorrow morning you can let me know about it.
What about the other series? Who do you like in there, Miami or Boston?
Well, it's interesting because I thought Boston would get the job done, but and they showed that yesterday. They demolished Miami Heat. So destroyed. I'm still sticking with them, but Miami have proven to be a lot better than what I think some of us have given them credit for.
Yeah, I'm still on the Celtics train here. They'll get the job done. I wouldn't be surprised if they win games 5 and 6 and just... end the series 4-2, but that's because I'm probably financially involved in a 4-2 series.
Not probably, definitely.
Series win for the Celtics. Great stuff, JR. We'll have you back for the news shortly. Just on the text line, hot tip today, boys. Sale race 4, Marine Parade, $11. No name to it, no explanation, just a hot tip. There you go.
We love
Marine Parade. That's $11. Race 4, number 5 at sale today. Jason Bembo in the saddle there. And what about this, Clarkie? From Blakey on the text line. Well done on keeping this quiet, Clarkie, but you have been busted, custard.
Busted,
very
busted.
Quiet trial behind Sky Command and Bitcoin Baby. Sky Command is very well performed. Bitcoin Baby then ran fourth to Maria Mia in Saturday class, then rolled home very nicely at her next trial in between horses. Will win races. Mm. This is in relation to your filly Pretty Wilds. Blakey says, will win races. So
I like
there
thinking.
You go.
Less is more.
Loz was right. Vegas Grand Prix next November.
Next November, 23.
Lock us in, Clarkie.
November 2023. Not sure. I like that time of the year in Australia. Can't get me to Vegas at that stage. November, December, January, I'm home. I'm Australia life. I love it. Best time of the year. Cricket season in Australia. Summer. Sydney Harbour. Beach.
Think of the pool parties.
No. I've got no interest in Vegas then. Now, talking about this time of the year, different story. Take me anywhere. Take me Europe. Take me Vegas. I hate the winter. So I'm praying for... I wish we could do radio, even in Queensland. Like, get me up there. Why can't we just go there as
a
team and set
up? Three.
And can we stay?
We'll try and sort something out with Will.
For like a month or something? Get some energy out of the sun. That's what we need, a bit of sun energy.
Speaking of Queensland, we've got Mark on the line. G'day, Mark. How are you?
Morning, boys. How's the world?
Mate, pouring down rain, but apart from that, life's good, buddy.
That's the way. Hey, look, I've got a question for the big Loz. Loz.
Go ahead, Mark.
My man, I have been a Broncos boy since 1988, even 1987, when I got the chance to meet Porky Morgan at the Mansfield Tavern and we were having a chat because it was all in the papers what was coming up.
Great fella, now, Porky. He was a great man. Yep.
Absolutely. Now, I've got a family member that used to play for the Broncos, different last name, and he left a couple of years ago, and he was saying that the culture in the club was one of the big downfalls in regards to their form. These boys getting money and just having no idea of what to do. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Kevy's coming into the factory, you've got Adam and you've got Kurt coming in. Do you think, in your wisdomly mind that you have, that it is either the boys like Kurt and Adam that have come in, or is it Kevy that's actually managed to turn things around? Because Kevy being the old boy, he's got a lot of the old school around him, helping and bringing back the culture. And I'm just seeing this picture of the Broncos of early.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of everything. I think they identified in the off-season that they were lacking with experience, and they went out and targeted leaders from strong clubs, and Souths and Penrith both played in the grand final last year. Both boys that they recruited, in particular Reynolds and Capel, were from Penrith and South Sydney. Both origin players both great leaders of men. And I think that's one of the things that they wanted to achieve. And they also brought Ryan James, who's a really strong professional player. Might be past his best, but they wanted him to come in and work with these younger forwards that they had on their books to show them what a professional player looks like. And you see the development of Carrigan, Jensen, Flegler. Now, they're starting to play how we expected them to. And I also think it may have taken time for Kevy to settle in under the desk. and put his feet under the desk, because I think, you know, he would have been a little bit nervous to start off with and probably second-guessed himself when he was going through a period of uncertainty when they were losing games. So I think he's now more comfortable being there. The addition of Ben Eichen onto the staff has given them clear direction and a plan of where they're going. And I think Kevy understands what the Broncos certainly looked like when it first started. And they're now starting to get back to that culture of, you know, being about the community and being about, when you pull on a Broncos shirt, that you're expected to perform. A bit like what Melbourne have been able to do over the last 20 years is the next man up attitude, regardless of who you are. When you pull on this shirt, there comes a great deal of responsibility. And the responsibility is, we're a big club. And when you play for a big club, the expectations might be a lot higher than what you were when you were playing with another club or what you've experienced in the past. But I think it's a combination of everything. And I think they've turned it around. I think they're playing some really good football. Kevy is now starting to have that sort of belief. And I reckon you can tell, even with the way that you see Kevy sitting in a box to when he's addressing the players, how far he's come. I think he looks a far more comfortable coach now than when he was at the start.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Now, overnight at the French Open, we got Roger Rashid coming on later this morning. We saw Aussie Alex de Minaur go down, unfortunately, and he lost in a super tiebreak in the fifth set. He lost to the world number 63, Frenchman Hugo Gasteau. It was 10-4 after it went to that tiebreak in the fifth and deciding set. So, unfortunate loss for the Aussie de Minaur. How about as well, yesterday there was a blow-up. Gee, some of these tennis players can be childish. Seriously.
Don't, what are you looking at me for?
Well, I just
look at Loz when you say that.
Stan Wawrinka.
I'm mature.
here we go. So, Stan Wawrinka, former Australian Open champion, of course.
Stan.
He's 37 these days.
Youngster.
Yeah, exactly. So, he won his game, so he plays Nadal next, but he blew up about the temperature of his water.
Oh, fair enough, dude.
Too cold.
Too cold?
Too cold. Oh, mate, he's a room temperature guy, and I get that. I'm a room temperature guy.
Take it out of the fridge even earlier for him. Like, you guys should know that.
Expletives to the umpire.
Because his water was too cold.
Because his water was too cold.
Yeah, he needs to give himself an uppercut.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
His water was too cold.
Yeah. Mate, it'd be hot over there. Shush, you just get your water into you and
shush. Just shut up. What's wrong with some of these
guys?
Don't
complain.
I want to know, what are you saying? What's the ref saying? Well, the umpire saying? If I'm the umpire, I'm saying, champ.
Yeah, you're champ again.
Give
for
it
sure.
A rest, mate. Just concentrate on hitting the ball in between these lines. I'll tell you if it's in. I'll tell you if it's out.
I'll do the old.
Don't drink water, mate. Just don't have a drink then if it's too cold.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah.
I'll just turn away.
If you leave it in the sun for 30 seconds, mate, it'll be warmer. Don't drink it for one set.
Do you ever give a talk to the hand to your household members, Loss? How do you survive? Like, you must get dominated.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you reckon?
Girls. I got dominated as a kid with my sisters, and now I just got girls in the house. No wonder Willie just looks at me and shakes his head and
knows what he's in for.
Oh, we just sort of
knows
look
where
at
he's
each
turning
other.
Out as well. Yeah,
we just look at each other and nod, give each other a wink.
No, I forget you've got Will, of course.
Yeah, I've got Will, but you just sit there and cop it. Why do we cop it?
Because it's the only we're never way.
Because you're
it's the only way to win.
Well,
that is
right.
The win. You actually copping it is a win.
I just cop it. I just sit there and go, yep, no worries.
Yeah, smart. That's why you're still married.
But I think she gets upset because I think she likes a bit of a verbal.
Oh, tell her to go and fight with the daughter, fight with the son. You're not getting it here.
I don't give her enough verbal.
That's why you're still married, Loz. Smart man.
Sometimes wants the fight, wants the
well,
fight.
Well, I think so. And the old, you never listen. You don't give me anything back here. Are you even in this house?
Kill him with silence. Kill him with silence.
Marriage is a two-way street.
We've been driving out of one way for 20 years, babe. I'm in the passenger seat. Keep driving.
Oh,
jeez. Probably why I'm not married.
Over time, you hear all these little sayings, Mido.
Yeah, no rush. JR, morning to you again, and I'm seeing that the Big Sports Breakfast Best is open. this morning as well. So you look for two in a row on the multi front.
Yeah, so we are open now, guys. We gave a little teaser before the 6:30 news, but we are now open. So it is three legs. And Loz Amido, I know you guys think that Dallas is going to win today, but I have got the Warriors to sweep the series, claim it today. So Golden State to win. And I think in order for them to do that, Klay Thompson will need to step up. And he did get 3 3-pointers in game three. So I'm hoping he'll do that again today. And then we need Klay Thompson and Luka Doncic to combine for 50 points. And Luka will probably do that on his own. He's been having 40-plus games in the past two. So 50 points for the two of them combined. And that's paying
$5.50. $5.50, tab app, tab website. Click on sport in today's offers. Jamie's NBA multi.
Now, boys, I've also got a little giveaway this morning. I was out at Club Menangle for their pacing for Pink High Tea, which was a sensational afternoon. The club did such a great job. And there's about 300 women there, and it was all to raise funds for the McGrath Foundation. And Jared, it was sort of a repeat of what happened with you when you won that voucher on the Tab Golf Day and you couldn't actually take it. So this lady that was sitting at my table, she won in the raffle a $100 dining voucher for Club Menangle, and she works there. And she said, oh, she just looked at me and said, hey, this is actually probably great for your listeners. Why don't you take it? So you didn't need to tell me twice. I took it, and we are giving it away this morning.
How good.
So it's literally give us a call now and the seventh caller will get that. So there are some T's and C's. It's just you can't go on a carnival night, but otherwise it's for you and a friend to head out for dinner at $100.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. 1353 53 for a voucher.
I'm calling in.
For a night at the Trots at Menangle.
Yeah.
Give us a call right now and seventh caller, Jamie says.
Yep,
wins.
Seventh caller wins the voucher. And I don't know what the price is yet for this horse tomorrow, but I sat on a table with trainer Julie Henman, and she has Don Key. So it's spelt D-O-N-K-E-E, and it's racing tomorrow at Penrith. And it won last start, and she spoke really highly of this horse. And I said to her, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to be saying this on the radio tomorrow. You can't be giving any mail, and I can't then pass it on. So tomorrow at Penrith, Don Key.
Don
the
Key.
Trainer
okay.
was very, very buoyant about
Remind
this horse.
Remind us again tomorrow.
I will.
Because the market.
There's no market yet, yeah. So it might be very short, but at this okay. stage, we'll keep an eye out and I'll remind everyone tomorrow.
We'll take mail wherever we can get it.
Well, that's what I thought. So just passing it on. Do what you will with it.
And there's a couple, thanks so much, JR, a couple on the text line here today as well. Morning, good each way bet Canterbury. Race 5, number 4, Julian Rock says, Rabs from Croydon, and from memory, Julian Rock's a bit of a wet tracker for sure as well. So thank you for that. And we had a tip earlier from Sale, race 4, Marine Parade, which is an $11 chance. Had a call, and JR will be back with the news at 7. We had a call calling about the Broncos and I guess their emergence before Loz. During the week, Herbie Farnworth has re-signed with the club and has backed himself with a 1-year extension, 12-month extension. So the Dolphins have missed out on someone else that they were targeting as well, by the way. But interesting, Darren Lockyer on 100% footy the other night, Monday night, he said that, Herbie Farnworth wants to play fullback.
Mm.
And Kevin Walters is going to give him an opportunity to train there in the off-season heading into next season. So there's a real collision course there at the Broncos for that number one jersey, you think, going forward. Because do you see, when he gets more experience under his belt, Selwyn Cobbo? Tamare Martin's playing very well there at the moment for the Bronx. Tessie News injured. So you wonder with Herbie Farnworth, and it sounds like, reading between the lines, if Herbie doesn't end up fullback for the Broncos next year, he'll probably head elsewhere.
Well, he signed a 1-year extension, didn't he, Herbie? So he's left himself open to, you know, being given an opportunity or getting an opportunity at the Broncos to play one. And if he doesn't, he can slip straight back into that centre position. But then he'll be off contract and he'll obviously want to play fullback at some other club and someone will give him that opportunity. So I think, depending on how he goes, he could well be the long-term fullback there for the Broncos, but you've got a guy there by the name of Selwyn Cobbo. Now, I don't know what position Cobbo will end up as, but he's got the skill set required to play fullback, and he's got the skill set required to play as a centre. And wherever he plays, and the way he's developing at the moment, and he's earning a reputation, which is earned by talent, but also what you're doing out there on the field, he could slot into any position into this back line at the moment for the Broncos. So depending on where they've identified Selwyn as going to be most effective for them. So he'll either be most effective at one or in the centres. So what do you do with him? You know, if he's got his heart set on playing fullback as well, you look at probably Cobbo and Herbie Farnworth, and I sort of look at them both and go, well, Cobbo for me is the one that I'm sticking with. If he wants to play fullback, you give him an opportunity there because he's 19 years of age. He's a massive kid. He's only going to get bigger and stronger. And you see him turning into that sort of Latrell Mitchell type player, Greg Inglis type. He's got speed, size, catch, fend, whatever you're looking for, he's got. But Herbie Farmer's playing some good footy at the moment in the centres. But for me personally, I think if Selwyn wanted to play fullback and if he's got his heart set on doing that, I'd be giving him first opportunity rather than Herbie.
I'm guessing Cobbo's probably played fullback through his junior footy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he played for Winner Manly last year. And every game that you saw him play last year, and got to see him a little bit towards the back end of the season because the Brisbane competition was shown on Channel 9, the finals. And he was just a standout at fullback. Mm. And, you know, you just know with another preseason under his belt, a bigger fitness base, more strength, he'll be dynamic wherever they play him. But if he's wanting to play fullback, I'm giving Selwyn Cobbo every chance to succeed at number one ahead of Herbie Farnworth.
Well, I know one person who, Loz, won't be cheering your Raiders on Sunday afternoon. That'll be young Luke who's on the line. G'day, Luke. How are you?
Hello, boys.
What's happening, Luke?
Not much.
You happy with Para?
Yeah, I'm happy. It was a good win.
Yeah, it was a good win against Manly.
Yeah.
What about Mitch Moses kicking that goal from the sideline? Did you back him in or did you think he was going to miss?
I couldn't watch it. I was too nervous.
Oh, you were too nervous? How's your man Gutho going?
Good.
Is he playing Origin, you reckon?
I reckon he should be fullback instead of Tedesco.
Oh, big controversial.
Gutho will love that.
He will.
And it's Papali's 100th game.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, right. And the other Papali had 250 last week for the Raiders. This Isaiah Papali, 100 this week.
Is it Kieran Foran's 250th as well this week?
250th, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, you're taking on my side this week, Luke.
Yeah.
Go the Eels.
Yep.
Come on. Smash the Raiders, Lukey boy.
It might be too cold for you blokes down there. They don't like the cold, the Eels.
I'm Laurie. Are you going to the Raiders Parramatta game?
No, I'm not, mate.
All right.
Are you going, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In Canberra. Is it in Canberra?
It's in Canberra, yeah. I'll give you one tip, Luke. Make sure you wear plenty of clothing because it will be cold.
Okay.
All right, because it gets very, very cold in Canberra this time of year.
And Luke, you've got to go and find Loz's statue and go and put an eel scarf around it.
Yes.
All right, I might do
that. Yeah, take a photo and send it to us, buddy.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
I'm telling you what, we'll have a little, we might have a little, no, I can't encourage. I was going to say.
Gambling?
Sorry, you put, but I won't. You put it, yeah.
I'm with you, Luke. Yeah. I'm going for Para.
Bottles of Coke and a Domino's on it or something.
I think Para will win by six.
I think Para will win by 18.
Ooh,
18?
Yeah, love the confidence.
Now,
I love it.
Lukey, what are you basing 18 points on?
24-6.
And why do you think they'll win by 18, though? Is it, do you think they've got a better forward pack or a better halves pairing?
A better forward pack.
I tell you what, we've got a tough forward pack this week.
You got him covered, Luke.
Yep.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy.
Yep.
Take it easy, Lukey.
Have a day off school, Luke. See you, buddy.
See ya.
See ya, Luke.
Mate, that'll be happy with you.
And Ben Gillies coming up next. Royce's big walk continues today, and they're getting the heavy hitters joining him. The big celebrities. The big
fish.
Adam Pengilly is heading west from... his humble abode there, his palace down in the southern suburbs of Sydney, to go and join Royce on his walk. Adam, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. I'm heavy, not a heavy hitter.
How far is your leg of the walk today, Adam?
Lies, we're in a bit of trouble. I think we've got about 29, 30 Ks, I think. And I think it's up Mount Victoria as well today.
Have you prepared?
No.
How many pairs of socks have you packed?
I've got two on at the moment, Clarky. Two socks on at the moment.
Two socks, one pair of shoes, or you got a spare pair?
No, I've got a spare pair in the car
somewhere
here.
Smart.
And another pair of socks in here somewhere as well.
Yep. You can get walking socks, can't you?
Yes, you can.
They're thicker.
Yep. Yeah. The key is, Adam, take my advice, change shoes and socks early rather than late. Don't wait for a blister.
Yeah.
Go early.
I'm actually quite nervous today, boys. I don't know if I'm going to make it, to be honest, but anyway.
Sounds like you'll do better than a few of them anyway. Alfie lasted 5 minutes, apparently.
Yeah, well, I heard Royce yesterday with you boys talking about the bus. Might sound like an attractive option at some stage today.
My experiences with these walks, and I've said it a number of times, you start out all excited, and you get everything off your chest, and then you find out you've only walked about 5K, and then you realise you've got another 25K, 30K in front of you, and you realise there's another 6 hours to go, and then the head starts to drop, the lip starts to quiver, and you start to doubt yourself, and no one wants to talk, it's just head down.
It's a long way uphill as well.
Yeah, or you.
What's the longest you've done, Loz, in charity walk?
I did Juneta Wagga, which is about 40-odd K.
Yeah, okay.
My knees were buggered at the end. I was gone. I had blisters. It was like, it would have been 39 degrees, 40 degrees. And I'd had enough. And all I was thinking was just get to the end. Don't pull out. Just get to the end, get to the end. And I got to the end and collapsed.
Did you really?
No. Well, when I mean collapsed, you just go, wow. And then I just couldn't wait to get a
chafe. Chafe's the other one, Adam. You got to change. You got to change your jocks, or you got to prep. You got to get the Keniston on early, even before you start.
I got a tights on, Clarky.
Yeah,
so,
good.
I
used to use zinc.
You guys know.
You know, you play in India, for example. You don't come. You get a break, but it's like 2 hour session. Right. But we used to use not like it's a different. It's not zinc like that goes on your nose. Right. I think it's the same product.
Yeah.
But it's like a clear zinc, and you put that in your boxer shorts or in your bike shorts. For, again, prevention better than cure. Because you're so hot, you're sweaty, you're running all day.
I didn't know that. Zinc. Yep.
Get it in there. Get it down there. Well, you know, get it down there, buddy.
From Clarkie's groin to the National Broodmare Sale. And we had a couple of mares go for huge prices there yesterday.
Oh, just crazy, isn't it, Jared? Like, away game went for $4 million. And she's been a fantastic filly and mare racing pretty much everywhere, hasn't she? She's been Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide in the past. So she's been one tough, tough mare for Kieran Maher and David Eustace. And Yong obviously like what they've seen. $4 million they've shelled out for her yesterday at the Broodmare Sale. And she'll race on this week in the Kingsford Smith Stakes up there in Brisbane, trying to win another Group 1 before she goes to stud. And obviously Tafane as well, $3.1 million too. So I heard you guys talking about it earlier this morning. It's great for these connections to have bought into this horse on at a relatively cheaper price and able to cash in at the end of their careers and sell them like this. It's just the amount of money going around in the breeding game at the moment is just quite staggering, to be honest.
What were your thoughts on Zaki drawing wide for the Doomben Cup?
Yeah, not an issue, Loz. I wouldn't have thought 10 of 10 in a relatively smallish field. I think the biggest key for him is getting away from Doomben, what was going to be a bottomless track there last week, as opposed to Eagle Farm this week with a little bit dry weather. A much better draining surface. That's a big key for him. The barrier draw is not too much of an issue, I wouldn't have thought. I think James McDonald will obviously try and saw him across in the early stages, getting settling in the first two or three, and he should be too good for him, you'd imagine, $1.40. I don't like the back horse at $1.40. Probably Wink's the only one I like the back at $1.40. But he won't be getting my money, Zaki, on the weekend, but he's obviously clearly the horse to beat.
Have you got a tip for us today?
Yeah, Jared. Race 4, number 2, Wild Chaff. He probably looks the best of the favourites of mine on the program today at Canterbury. He was dynamic winning last start at Canterbury on a bog track. Similar grade. I know he's creeping up in the weights a little bit, but we know he handles the wet. He'll go forward, put himself in the right spot. I think he's still a better around the 2.80 mark last night. So that's race 4, number 2, Wild Chaff at Canterbury today.
$2.80 indeed with Tab. Good on you, mate. Enjoy that walk.
See you, boys. Hopefully my wife watches tomorrow morning.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing the
fallout. Good luck, buddy.
Adam Pengilly there. Cookies coming up after the news.